Good evening, good evening, good evening. This is Glenn Greenwich
from Hope Radio.
Good evening, good evening, good evening. This is Glenn Greenwich coming to you live from the International Black Summit Talk Show Network. And we are broadcasting live through the internet from 8 to 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. I'm going to do something a little different tonight. I'm actually going to start off the show with the music of Lion King. I don't know. I just feel like a little Lion King in me tonight. So hold on a second. Let me play this for you. I don't know. I've just been feeling like a little Lion King tonight. You know, I think what it is really just the kind of like the kickoff the festivities. We're going to be at the International Black Summit in Birmingham, Alabama, coming up starting this Thursday night, and we're going to have a grandstanding opening event, and then we're going to be rocking and rolling Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. So next week this time we'll be coming to the culmination of the annual event for the International Black Summit. But as we traditionally do, let me read the declaration. And we've got some real popping hosts tonight. We've got Mr. Paul Coates, who's going to come on and talk to us a little bit about what he's been doing and what he's been up to. And, of course, we've got Ms. Henrietta Bird out there in Birmingham. She's already on the scene, you know, making things happen. So without any further ado, the Declaration of the International Black Summit. We declare ourselves, our community, and all communities whole and complete. There is nothing to do except be. We assert that we are responsible for generating community as possibility and distinction. We listen for and grant being to the possibility and creation of unpredictable results. Our conversation of, about, and for those of African descent is one of power, self-generation, abundance, responsibility, unity, and integrity with the possibility of being. We stand for the expression of our spirituality, ending the murders of our men, women, and children, building economies responsible for funding our community, maintaining wellness of being in our bodies, providing human services, establishing nurturing relationships, altering the conversation of who we are in the media, empowering our youth. We declare that our community manifests itself in the world as a contribution in the transformation of the universe. Atlanta, Georgia, October 7th, 1991, July 29th, 2012, north, south, east, west, above, below, within, and around. A moment of silence, please. Thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you. So, you know, the thing that I'm left with, you know, we've been having some issues here in New York about gun violence and gun shootings and ending the murders of our men, women, and children. And so I know that it's not about what we do, and there are things for us to do, but it's about us taking a stand for who we be and what is going to occur in our community. So with that, on a lighter note, I'm going to bring in Mr. Paul Coates. Welcome to the show.
Glenn and everyone, welcome. I extend welcome back to you. Okay?
Thank you, thank you, thank you.
Glad to be with you.
And we also have Henrietta Berg on the line.
Good evening, everybody. And thank you, Paul. Glenn, thank you for presencing the Declaration of the International Black Summit. That is what we are all about, that declaration. It is so powerful, and you generated it powerfully. So thank you.
Oh, you're welcome. You're welcome. You're welcome. And we're for you out there, we are going to be powerfully dancing in that declaration, in that vision, this up and coming end of the week, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, at our annual event in Birmingham, Alabama. And I don't want to just say Alabama. We're going to Bama, y'all. Okay? Hello. I had a friend of mine from Huntsville, and he never used to say Alabama. He said, I'm from Bama.
I'm from Bama.
So that's Dang. Where we're going. We're going to Bama.
Yeah.
So Paul, tell us a little bit about the work that you've been doing, and because you've been busy creating for us, creating for the International Black Summit, you know, presencing our boy in Egypt who's on the ground floor, working on the tombs and giving us updates of what it's like to be in Egypt, you know. So tell us a little bit about what's going on for you, brother.
Yeah, Glenn, you know, first of all, I have been experiencing the summit, particularly over the last year, by working and in working with other folks in what we call the Mid-Atlantic region.
Okay.
And okay. Mostly that has been working with people who are engaged with the summit in the Baltimore, Maryland area, the Washington, D.C. area, and some folks from Virginia.
Okay.
We organized ourselves as a group of people, and we wanted to bring the summit. There is the summit as the annual event, and that's what we're going to experience this week coming in Birmingham. But also there is the summit as activities that people engage in through the summit, and we wanted some of those activities alive in our communities in the Mid-Atlantic region, and that's why we got together. So we have been meeting over the last year.
Mm-hmm.
We've planned different events over the last year. Like one of the things we got together on was doing it wasn't really a community summit. It more was a community information session to augment the sharing that we do about the International Black Summit. So as a group, we've met and we've brought folks together. And Glenn, it was a powerful experience in the sense that it came out pretty much as we conceived it. We wanted to organize and share the summit with our very, very close people, those folks who were intimate with us. That is to say, it could be, in some cases, it was friends. In other cases, it was relatives. In my case, it was my daughter and my son. We wanted all of them together and to have a powerful experience of having the summit shared with them. And we did that in May, Glenn. So, I mean, this we planned it over a period of a couple of months. We worked on it, and we brought people together in May. And it was an awesome experience. I think there were about 18 people, something like that, who attended. And out of that, I think about half of those people were engaged and folded in that experience, so that they went on to another activity that we planned, which was the prerequisite. And that prerequisite, as you know, is basically an introduction to some of the distinctions and some of the languaging that will occur at the annual event. So Glenn, we have been in action. I mean, that's what we've been as a committee and as a group. And I've been fortunate to experience this with people in this area. We've just had a great time.
Great. Let me underline a couple of things. So Paul has described to you several things, and I just want to underline them, a couple of them. And one is that the summit is a conversation as well as an event. So we have the annual event, but the summit lives in the declaration of the summit lives in each of us. And as we go out in our day-to-day lives living, we experience people inside of that conversation called the International Black Summit and the Declaration. And so we're able to engage people that we work with, people that we are our family, people that we are in business with, you know, all the different aspects of our life. So there's a conversation and it's an event. The other thing is I want to distinguish is that there are a couple of ways that we share the International Black Summit with you. So what we have are summit shares, and the summit share is a way of introducing people into the conversation and letting people find out a little bit more about it. Of course, we have a website, www.blacksummit.org, so you're welcome to go out and look at the website and engage in the website. We've got the declaration. We've got the purpose of the International Black Summit. We also have what they call the prerequisite, which is a standalone introduction to the work that we do. So it's a body of work that we engage in one day, and that is to prepare you to fully participate in the annual event. But it also gives you enough so that you can go home with the information and the understanding and the tools inside of the summit to impact your life from that event alone. And then what Paul has done is Paul has engaged in a community event where he's invited different members of his community to engage inside the conversation of the International Black Summit. Some of the distinctions, and the distinctions are the tools that we use inside of that conversation. So there are many ways to engage. So all of you all out there, I want you to listen to this as an opportunity for you to look at improving your family, your relationships, your businesses, your community at large, and areas within your city. So that's inside of all of that conversation. So I just wanted to underline some of that. And thank you, Paul, for the passion that you are around having your community and especially having your family participate in this work. Because
I just want to add something to that because I really want to emphasize that we are a group, We are a community within our community. And I'm like real clear, and I know you're speaking, Paul has done as well as I can, but I'm like real clear that the backbone that I get in terms of working with the summit, the energy that I get really is contributed to me by that group. And in turn, I contribute to other people in the group. And consequently, we end up as a ball of energy, Glenn. And that's really, really what's happening. You know, when I think about how we pull together our community event, that community share, people came together, and one of the first things we did after the declaration and after, we did introductions, Glenn. And as we went around the room and introduced each other within that group of 18 people or 20, whatever it was, there was so much power in that room that, you know, people were literally blown away by the person sitting next to them. And that's like power that comes out of a group that's assembled or a group that is assembled, and then the group that assembled group brings together. I got high off of the people in the room. You know, I mean, really got high. And I still get high. You know, like when you started, you were talking about the brother who had gone to Egypt and stuff like that, and you were really referencing Tony Browder, who is one of our group members in the Mid-Atlantic region. And, you know, what can I say about Tony? I'm inspired by him all the time. He's an author. He's a lecturer. He is an Egyptologist. He is someone who, he is a learned archaeologist. This is someone who is in our group and who would be on this phone call now, but given for the fact that he's in Egypt excavating one of the tombs from the 25th dynasty. So, you know, these are the type, they were just awesome. There are awesome and powerful people in the Mid-Atlantic group, as there are in other places that engage in this conversation. But there were awesome people that these people brought together. And I just can't get enough of drinking up that energy, Glenn, and sharing the power of that energy, as you know well. So I just want to emphasize that.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. You know, there's something, and I'm going to say magical, about the work that gets done when we get together with a common vision to move our community forward. And I've been in this conversation for over 20 years, and I still can't describe it to you how it works. But what I can say unequivocally is that it works, and it's magical, and it just keeps occurring. And that energy that you're talking about, Paul, is endless. It's an endless flow. You know, I was listening to the radio station, and we're talking about the violence going on and so forth. And the sister got on and said that that with Allah, everything is abundant, and we have this abundance, but yet we're taught this scarcity. And what I'm present to is that the conversation of the International Black Summit is about abundance. We're an abundant people. We come from an abundant God, and we have the possibility of having abundance. And it doesn't necessarily mean money. You know, the beauty about abundance and wealth is that if you look around, we have all of what we need. And so this wealth gets multiplied by the energy when we get together. And so the sum of the individuals is nowhere near the sum of the mass, you know, the sum of the group. And so and so that energy is exponential in its creation by the by the groups that get together. So I hear you, brother. I absolutely hear you, and that's the thing that I love about the International Black Summit and the conversation that lives throughout the year and lives inside of each of us. And we're having the annual event this upcoming weekend.
Right. Yeah, Glenn, I I emphasize the point of how talented people are. And I also emphasize, you know, like we've got a, one of the people in our group received her doctorate recently, and I watched that sister. I've known her for over, the sister of God, I've known her for over 30 years, and I watched her work on her doctorate in a very methodological way over 20 years, you know? And she worked and she worked and she worked. She's a distinguished educator here. She's someone who constantly gives to the community and is very well known in the Washington, D.C. community. You know, on another extreme, on the Baltimore side, is our good friend Salima Marriott.
Mm-hmm.
And she gives, and you know, I always tell people, I mean, Salima is like, she's like a lady warrior, you know, like a woman warrior, you know, because, you know, this is a woman that has served in public office, sacrificed herself, would always take, in a minute, would take unpopular stands if they came down on the side of right in terms of the black community, in terms of people, period. If it meant that something was going to be right, she's going to be on it, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, she served there. She served as deputy mayor. She served in elected positions. And this is someone, in the case of both of these women, Talima in particular, who encouraged me to reengage with the summit. You know, if I said, you know, okay, I got enough summit, she encouraged me to reengage, and her energy, and this is why, again, with what you were saying about group, what I'm saying about group, is very, very important. She encouraged me to reengage, and her energy pulled me in, and it pulled other people in so that we have a group. And I guess I'm emphasizing group also because I see the power of the summit, pretty much as you were saying, it gets multiplied when we're able to bring our community together, our immediate community together, and then extend that out further. We have so much to share. When you're talking about abundance, I'm thinking about human capital, you know, like the brain power that makes everything work. We have all of that to share, and we do have an abundance of that, Glenn. And we have all of that to share, and we get to master it. We get to multiply it. We get to extend it out to group. And I just wanted to, again, emphasize that.
Oh, yeah.
Now it just turned me on, you know?
Yeah, it is. And that's what originally drew me to the summit. Was the possibility of conversation 2 years ago, when I got when they sent it to me in New York, they sent the letter. They said, you know what, you want to get the people in New York involved, send it to this brother Glenn.
Mm-hmm.
He's got an organization called the DEG, People of African Descent Empowerment Group, which was our local conversation, very similar to your conversation, a local group that was working inside of Landmark Education in terms of building black community leaders. You know, how do we get our community leaders trained and bring this technology to the community? And so inside of that conversation, the similar synergies, and it was inside of that that we actually had 8 people from the New York area be at that first annual event in Atlanta.
Mm.
And the conversation is continued. We're now in our third phase of PDEG. So we had about 7 or 8 years that we did the work inside of the Landmark Education Area Center. And then we took a hiatus and then came back together. And then from 1996 to 2011, had an investment partnership where we invested in stocks and mutual funds and amassed over $250,000 worth of investments, ballooned maybe about 25 at our peak and 14 or 15 at our lowest end of partners that were invested for that period of time. And then the next conversation that we're looking at is called the World Resource Network, where what we're looking to do is launch a resource bank to support businesses, personal development, wealth building, and just whatever people are up to moving it forward. So these are the kinds of conversations that I get that I can't get tired. You know, when my body says, you know what, you know, you're feeling low in energy, I think of the possibility of the work that can be done inside of these groups, and I get energized. I get motivated. I get that whatever that tiredness was leaves me. I have an opportunity to engage in this with some masterful people. And that's the thing. That's the thing that I'm so in love with this work about, because I get to work with masterful people that are engaged in a similar conversation of empowering our community. And the ideas, it's like these pool of ideas that I can't even put my arm around all the ideas that get percolated from all these conversations. So go ahead, Paul.
No, I was gonna say one of the things that you're saying, and you're demonstrating a long history, that the organization you are with in New York has had working inside of a conversation about money and wealth and what have you. And it's just, you know, again, it's just demonstrating the power and capacity of having a conversation like the summit going on and the distinctions of the summit going on and being able to have that conversation apply to whatever the concerns are in our community. I think, like inside of the Declaration, you're dealing with building economies. You're responsible for funding our community. You know, in our area, it's very interesting, in the group of folks that I'm working with in the Mid-Atlantic, a lot of concerns for family and a lot of concerns for social well-being came up. And so most of the things that we've envisioned here, the conversations we've envisioned, are conversations that will address relationships. So there is all kinds of spaces and all kinds of conversations that can go on inside of distinctions of the International Black Summit. And I just think that's great, because we have so many things confronting us as a community, and we can address them. You're dealing with the capacity to bring together finances, the capacity to increase those finances, the capacity to build businesses. Here we have another conversation going on about increasing the capacity of love and companionship and responsibility and integrity with in our families. That was a powerful conversation to be held inside of the framework of these distinctions, Glenn. And it's just awesome to me.
It is. It really is. And the beauty of it, the exhilaration is that we don't even know what's possible.
Right.
You know, We're standing in, you know, the Declaration, and it talks about producing unpredictable results. You know, standing in generating community as possibility and distinction. Listen for and grant being to the possibility and creation of unpredictable results. And see, that's the thing that becomes available inside of these conversations and inside of the tools. So any of you listening out there who haven't been part of this conversation called International Black Summit, I want you to listen to this conversation inside of how is it going to benefit you? How is it going to provide you with access and tools to building wealth, to improving the relationships, to strengthening the bonds, to impacting your business, to reaching out to the young people in our community, and reaching back, reaching up, reaching sideways, really reaching out to the elements of our community that need the help, that we see it. Because one of the things that I got real clear about, I've been doing community development for the last 4 or 5 years, and what I've gotten in touch with is that we can't keep waiting for someone else to do it for our community. It's now time for us to do it for our own community, because we can no longer wait. We just cannot wait any longer.
Right. And you know, Glenn, like you're saying, we can't wait any longer. It doesn't make sense to wait. There's so many things that we can address. It's just like, you know, this is our community. Well, it's like, this is my house. Why would I wait for Glenn to come in and fix something in my house when it's reachable and accessible to me? And it empowers me. It actually empowers me to address whatever is in my house, whether it's fixing my house or whether it's expanding my house. If I expand my house, then I end up with a wonderful house in which I've got more room and I can put more books in, because, Glenn, that's my thing, of course. That's what I want to put. I want to put more books in, you know? So, you know, like, your point is well taken. You know, there are that many things. And this whole, you know, and this is what our ancestors left for us. Glenn, they left a legacy of doing for self. You know, it's an important legacy. We must do for self. You know, we have not the luxury. We have not the time. We don't even have the energy to wait on someone else to do it for us, whether it's building a business, whether it's building our communities, whether it's straightening out our young people, whether it's engaging in our schools, whether it's engaging in our families. We have the power and we have the capacity to transform all of that, and literally by doing so, transform the world, because that's the other level that the conversation of the summit speaks to. And it's a powerful and attractive conversation. I like the part where you're asking people to look from it from a certain perspective of what is the benefit for them, too. Because I think as we uncover that, Glenn, that's how most people listen anyway. You know, they either listen from that perspective or they shut down from that perspective. You know, they listen from the perspective, this is something that works for me. This might be good. Or they listen from the perspective of, well, he ain't got nothing to say to me. You know, that ain't kicking with me. But if people engage in this conversation and other conversations, uncover that that's where they're listening from, they can get that out of the way and look and listen and see what's there for them to use, especially in this process that we're talking about, this process of self-responsibility, this process of responsibility, this process of self-generating, whatever the result is that people are trying to get in their lives. It's an important area to step into. It's an important space to occupy. And it's there for all of us to do. And it's there for us to support others as they do it. That's where I am, Glenn.
Absolutely, absolutely. This is the International Black Summit Talk Show Network. We come to you live every Sunday night from 8 to 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. We've got information about the work that we're doing on the website. We've got a social website that allows you to become a member and to post events and interest and have conversations with other people about the things that you're interested in and you're able to promote the work that you're doing, the business that you're as I said, events. That's www.blacksummit.org. You can, there are sections to blog, and just want to get you present to the purpose of the International Black Summit is to provide an opportunity for participants to bring into being their vision for the black community and the world. So, again, our purpose in life is to really have you fulfill on your vision and your vision for the black community and the world. And so as we engage in that and use these distinctions, we want you to really, really take it to heart and look to see what is it that you want to get accomplished. And with the tools and the distinctions that we're talking about, how could that help you to get there?
Right.
Henrietta Byrd, we have not heard much from you tonight.
You almost heard me talking about you. I said, the men have been talking for 35 minutes straight. And they're not talking about football. I love it. I'm just so glad. I'm so happy. I am already here in Birmingham. And we are ready, okay, the people in Birmingham. We are out every day talking to people and making sure that, people know about it because we are international, and this is the first time that it has actually been in this state. So I've been to this kind of meeting and that kind of meeting. I've been to barber shops. I've been to class reunion meetings and wherever they tell me there are people who will listen, that's where I go. So we are looking forward to just everything. I can't wait until Tuesday night because that's when the facilitators come in, late Tuesday night, early Wednesday morning, and we get started. There's a youth group of 100 people that are coming into Birmingham for a four-day conference that begins tomorrow, and it ends on Thursday. Isn't that interesting? Ends on Thursday, just in time for them to move over and come to the youth summit. So just finding out all kind of things, and the people in Alabama have truly paved the way for us. We stand so much on their shoulders in so many ways. I talk to people every day who have just done some wonderful, wonderful work and have never been acknowledged for the work that they've done. So on Thursday night, we will be acknowledging some of the people in Alabama who have just made great progress in many, many different areas, probably the greatest human interest story that I've heard this weekend, if you would just give me just a few minutes to share this, she's almost like a sister to me, but she does taxes on her, during the season. She's a retired chemist, one of the first chemists in this area, a graduate of Tuskegee Institute. And she was doing taxes, and a lady came in and asked her, to do her taxes. She started doing it. And, she asked the regular questions, your name, your address, your phone number, how many dependents, how many children do you have? And the woman kind of got teary-eyed because one of her children had been kidnapped, and they had never been able to find the child. And so she said, well, let's just put the child down and the child's social security number and let's just see what happens. You never know, you know, because if anybody can identify, you know, if anybody can find somebody who might be using the child's social security number, you know, IRS can. Put the child's social security number down and whatever, and the taxes, you know, when you go to certain tax agencies, you can get your returns back in a couple of days. She said this tax return came back in 2 hours. 2 hours they had the ladies refund and had identified where the child was.
Really?
And say it again, I didn't hear you.
I said, really? Wow.
Is that something? And it just blew me away. This woman has never been acknowledged for that. That's something you think you would have heard about on the news, you know. I mean, just people who are doing some wonderful, wonderful work here. Bessemer, Alabama, I was there yesterday for a reunion meeting of the Dunbar Abrams School. And this is a group of people of African descent who have decided to maintain the building that housed the Bessemer Colored School, the only school that they would allow black people to go to. And, I mean, there are people in their 50s who went to that school. It just, I think it closed in somewhere in the 70s, all right? And the building's still there, but that was the place. They wouldn't let blacks go to school in that city for a while. And in order for the people to work, they wanted their children to go to school. And so the story is that, you know, the people asked to have the school. And so they started this Bessemer School for Colored Children. And so they are maintaining it. They have turned it into a community center. They have their 501c3 status, nonprofit, and now they've gotten grants to do different things with the community. And as long as they continue to help the community, the grant is good. So I got a chance to meet this group of people on yesterday, and they have botillions and cotillions, and they're just, you know, doing all kinds of stuff for that community. And, I mean, just some fabulous, hardworking people here who, like I said, have never been acknowledged. So we would love for people to join us on Thursday night for the opening ceremony for the International Black Summit and to get acknowledgement, praise, and celebration of who we are as a people and the contribution we are to the world. That's one of the things that's available in the International Black Summit, in that annual event, is we celebrate, we acknowledge, and we praise people who are people who've done just wonderful things that might go unnoticed. You know, that's one of the great things I enjoy about the summit, is how we acknowledge each other, you know. Yes, sir.
Have we given the location for the summit and Thursday night event?
It is at the Doubletree Hotel on 20th Street and 8th Avenue, right at the UAB campus. And it's the Doubletree Hotel, and it is in all of the meeting rooms, the grand ballroom, everything. We are in that entire lower level space. You will just see Summit everywhere. The U Summit is in one room. It's in a square, if you can imagine a square, and all of the rooms are, you know, on the outskirts of this square. So the U Summit will be on one side, Adult Summit on the other side, the facilitated room, you know, the registration, it's all right there in the square.
Right.
All you have to do is meet us there at the Doubletree
right.
Hotel on 20th Street. So
right.
We thank you
mm-hmm.
so much for joining us.
Can you talk about the Thursday night event some more, because I know that a number of activities have been added to it.
Right.
And,
right. Well, we're like I said, we're doing acknowledgement of many people, like I talked about a few minutes ago. And there will be music and dancing, and you'll get a little taste of what's available the rest of the weekend. You know, you'll hear from some of our facilitators. You'll hear a little bit about the history of the summit. Also, on Thursday morning at 9 o'clock is the prerequisite. And the prerequisite is a must. If you've never done the summit before, you must do the prerequisite. And that begins at 9 a.m. on Thursday. And so we're asking everybody who's not done the summit to do the prerequisite on Thursday, so you will be prepared for entering the room on Friday. If the youth summit, however, the youth prerequisite is on Friday. The adult prerequisite is on Thursday. So from Thursday at 9 o'clock to Sunday when we are complete, it will be, you will be in the conversation. The other thing is, if you have anything that you like, you would like to sell, there's a vending opportunity for people who make their wares or just have things that they want to sell to the people of Birmingham or the people at the summit. There are vending opportunities, and you can go to blacksummit.org and register for the summit. At this particular time, you have to pay at the door, so you could, but you can register and let us know that you're coming, and that if you would like to be a vendor, you also go to blacksummit.org and let us know that you would like to be a vendor, or just show up, and we will assist you in the process. Of vending. Vending is $100 for the weekend, which is a wonderful price because we are about building economy. And so bring what you have, you know, to sell, what you make, what you love, and share it with the Birmingham community at one of the vending tables. And just be ready for Thursday night. It's going to be a wonderful, wonderful experience.
Excellent. Well, one of the things I want to preface right now is that each year we have a particular venue or a particular viewpoint or a particular way of looking at what we're working on, and we work on these things together. So this year we have a particular inquiry. So we have inquiries and declarations, and we engage in that each year. And so the inquiry that we've been engaging in is, what is possible in life when I be with what is? What is the gift? So it really is, let me speak for myself, when I look at life, and when life is not going the way I think I would like to, I want it to be, it should be, I would like to imagine it is, I get to be with what is, and I'm looking at that square in the eyes, I get to ask myself, why is life giving me this? What is the gift? So I get to engage in what is being delivered to me. Now, you know, I first have to get over that what I would like it to be versus what it is. And once I can be with what is, then I can begin to look and investigate what the gift is. So that's the conversation that we've been engaging in. And I got to tell you that when I look at what is the gift, I'm always looking in a different place that I started out with. Because once I confront with what is and not anything else, but what I confront what is, and then I begin to engage in what is the gift, miracles open up. And again, I talk about miracles, and this is not a woo-woo kind of a group. We are engaged in moving ourselves forward. And in looking, I get to look to see how am I interacting with life. Life has given me something, and there's a gift in it, and the opportunity is for me to see that gift. And so I tell you, every time I engage in that particular inquiry, there's something else that shows up in my life, in my space, as an opportunity for me to move myself forward on all different levels. So that's the conversation that we're engaged in. And at the end of this event in Birmingham, Alabama, in Bama, we're going to have another either inquiry or declaration consistent with what we've done for the last 22 years. So we're always about evolving. We're always about engaging. We're always about taking it to the next level. And it's not just about me taking it to the next level, but it's about the whole group, each of us looking for ourselves what's possible and what is that next level. And so you've got a group of people that are engaged in this conversation, constantly growing. It's like peeling an onion, and you peel a layer. And wow, there's another layer there. And you peel another layer. Whoa, there's still another layer. And you keep peeling, and we keep discovering. I keep discovering who I am, such that the people that know me don't know this aspect of me. So I get to unfold and to live my life. And guess what? The person to my left and the person to my right are doing the same thing. So I may have known them for 3 years, 5 years, 10 years, 20 years, and they're unfolding, and I'm getting a new glimpse of them, just like they're getting a new glimpse of me. So I don't want to scare y'all.
And Glenn, there is particular power in the sharing of that unfoldment, the sharing of distinguishing what is, the sharing of what is the gift when the gift is distinguished. Your doing it helps me see better when things confront me. It helps me reduce the story about the thing that's confronting me and get right to the heart of the matter of the thing that's confronting me. And when I do that, when I'm clear on what it is, it helps me, at least it helps me be empowered. It gives me the energy to move on. For example, in my case, I don't know about you, Glenn. I know that I go to doom and gloom quite often. You know, like something happens, and I go, oh, wow. But what this question has done for me this year is reminded me that, one, to be with what is. And when I be with what is, I can really distinguish it down to what it is and then immediately go for the gold, look for where the gift is, whatever happens.
Right.
I mean, in business, I'm in the printing business, Glenn, and I mess up a lot of things. And I could run around all day long hollering. I'm telling you I could, because every time something gets messed up, that's money going out the door. But this year in particular has allowed me the opportunity to calm myself down and approach things, be with what is. Whatever's happening, be with what is. And then, what is the gift of that? And that gives me a truer picture, because when we're only looking at things and we only see one side, what is the bad, we are not empowered to look for the good.
Uh-uh. That's right.
We're not empowered to look for the good. So, and then sharing again, you sharing what's going on, Glenn, or what you've experienced and how you got to see the gift in it, helps me empower me. It creates a model that I can look at and a model that I can work with. So I'm thanking everybody who's been sharing
on our calls and our interaction. I've been empowered by them as much as I've been empowered by the things I've been confronted with.
Well, good, good. I want to underline two things. So Paul just spoke to two things, two of the distinctions, two of the tools that we have in International Black Summit. And one is sharing. And sharing is that. It's sharing ourselves, speaking about what it's been for us. So, you know, what did I go through? What did I experience? You know, what had my life be altered through this process? And by sharing that, people get to see the similarities and the differences and can use that experience so that I don't have to relive what Paul has gone through, because I can have the benefit of what Paul shared with me, so I can then be in a different space and a different opportunity. The other thing that's a vital conversation is clearing and the opportunity of clearing. Clearing oneself, clearing one's space, being able to quiet that constant nattering that's in the back of our head that constantly is engaging us. And so by clearing ourselves and saying what we need to say and being with what is, gives us an opportunity to get all of those emotions out so that we can focus on our commitment and what is our purpose and what's our vision. So clearing is also another very useful distinction or tool inside of the International Black Summit. And there are many tools that we talk about that we engage in inside of the sharing, inside of the prerequisite, inside of the annual event, and obviously from our day-to-day conversations. Because, again, remember, the summit is also an event, and it's a conversation. That conversation walks and lives with us moment by moment by moment. Now, we've got about 3 minutes left. So, Paul, is there anything that you'd like to share with us in closing?
Glenn, I guess the main thing is I'm looking forward to seeing everyone who's with us tonight in Birmingham, Bama, okay? So, and I look forward to having this conversation continue. That's what I'm looking forward to, and that's all I want to share. And I want to thank Henrietta, for the opportunity of coming on to speak about the Mid-Atlantic team. Thank you, Glenn, for the work you're doing with the radio program, and thank everybody on the radio program team.
Well, thank you. Thank you for being a very honored guest, because you bring a lot of grace and ease and clarity to the conversation. So thank you for participating on the level you do. Thank you for the work that you're doing in your community. Thank you for being a stand for your community. So just thank you for all of that and all the other things that I don't even know about that you're doing. So thank you, my brother.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Henrietta?
Glenn, thank you. Thank you so much, Paul. Thank you for being on the show tonight. I really am looking forward to everything. You all come to Birmingham. This is where it's happening. And this is just be open and receptive. Join this conversation. This is a wonderful conversation to be in all year round. And, you know, it's a wonderful opportunity that we take to come together once a year. So thank you, and we will see you Thursday morning at 9 a.m. at the Doubletree Hotel on 20th Street in Birmingham, Alabama.
Absolutely, absolutely, absolutely. And for me, I just want to say that when Henrietta came on, she said, them brothers have been talking for 35 minutes. I wasn't talking about football or sports. No, what we're engaged in is conversations that impact our lives, that impact the community's lives, that move our community forward. So if you're interested and that's the game that you're in, come join us. Come to this talk show any Sunday night. Dial in and have this conversation. If you're listening to this recording, The number to call in is 646-716-9827. Call in any Sunday night and ask us questions, engage in the conversation. We love you. We honor you. We thank you for participating, and we're clear that you're here to make a difference, as we are. We are your partners in doing that. God bless. Thank you.
Good night.
Good night.